This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast will be a blessing and a help to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could pray with us. Fathers, we bow before you. We thank you for your opportunity that you've given us to be here on the radio. Thank you for your darling son. Thank you for loving us and being good to us. Lord, I pray for the listeners. I pray you'd bless them and help them. God, as the word of God goes out, let it find good ground and accomplish that whereunto you please. Lord, we ask you once again to bless the listeners. We'll thank you for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brother, let me make just a few real quick announcements. I ask you to please continue to pray for our children's homes, one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, as well as the one in Romania. All of the mission work in Romania, Bulgaria, the Ukraine, and just please continue to pray for all of this. We'd greatly appreciate it and be very thankful. We appreciate all your support financially and prayerfully for all of this work. We're grateful, and we can't do it without you. But anyway, I want to go ahead, give you our mailing addresses this week. Ask you to write us, if you would. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium. We trust you'll enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles tonight in the book of Psalms, chapter 78. Now tonight, I want to talk to you in Psalm 78 and verse 41. That's where I'm going to take my text. Ain't no telling whether I'll ever get back or not, but that's where I'll take it. Well, most time do anyhow. And if you can keep up with me, it's all right. If you don't, why, just get lost in the fog and come on through after a while. And some nights I'll be preaching things you won't believe, but it ain't because it ain't so. See, I can't help it, you know. A lot of folks don't believe me, but that ain't my fault. I can't help it if they don't believe the truth. Because that's what I'm trying to preach. Like a fellow up in Roanoke, he said, I love you, but I don't believe what you're preaching. You're not going to hold me up. A fellow jumped on me at the last meeting. Not the last meeting I was in, but here recently a fellow jumped on me about a statement I made in the pulpit. He said, I'm going to have to challenge you about that. I said, go ahead, I'm standing here. And he said, well, I just don't believe what you said about obeying the laws of the land. He said, I believe I ought to obey all of them. I don't care what they make, obey it. I said, well, that's what's wrong with our country, folks like you. They ain't got sense enough to stand up. I said, you mean if they make a law that you couldn't read your Bible, have family altar, and tell the children about Jesus, that you'd have to obey that and just obey it, throw your Bible away? Oh, it won't never get that bad. I said, it's already that bad. They just haven't put it in force yet. And I said, folks like you are the cause of it. You're to blame for this world being a situation like this. We was out in the back of the church, of course, and he said, well, I'm not going to hold you up any longer. I said, brother, you're not holding me up. I just kept cramping on his toes and talking to him. I kept him there for 30 minutes, and when I got done, he said, yes, sir, you're right. Yes, sir, you're right. He wants me to leave, but I wasn't going to leave him. He's the one started. I don't believe in running after you get a fella bluffed. I believe you ought to stay with him to just tell him what you think. And I don't want you come around telling me nothing. I mean, if you know anything, why, that's all right. But if you're just going to argue about what I'm saying, I done told you what I said. And I don't take back nothing I say from the pulpit or nowhere else. I may be wrong, but if you'll show me, I appreciate that. I really do. But don't fuss at me, because I don't believe in that. I don't even believe my wife ought to do that, but she does. I don't believe it anyhow. Don't make me believe it because she does it. Now, if you got your Bibles ready, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now you say, preacher, they can't do that. They did do it, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Neighbor, tonight I want to talk to you about that, and there's only one way to do that. God's sovereign, but he's got laws to go by. You see, God goes by laws just like he wants you to. He's got some boundary lines, and if you get over it, why, you can mess him up. If he gets over, of course, he'd mess you up, so we're going to have to come up there and all walk it together. God is sovereign. He can do anything, but he just does some things, you see. He could do anything, and I'm not saying that God can be limited to the extent that he couldn't, but God's a wonderful God, and he won't do some things, and he goes by laws, and so if God works by that, my friend, and he does work by that,
He'll bless you as you meet the condition. He won't step over to bless you unless you do. He won't do things unless you do first. You see, God will move every time you do. He'll let him. Now, the whole thing is, there's some responsibility left on us. You know, a lot of folks preach that God's got all the responsibility. He'll just do it whether you want it done or not, honey. He does some things whether you want it done or not, and other things he'll let you go up and halfway have a part in. You see, you can do it, then he'll do his part. Otherwise, you can limit God. In verse 1, God says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter a dark sayings of old." Now, God is saying in this whole chapter, he's talking about faith down through here, or unbelief, rather. And the only way you can limit God, as I start out, because I may never get back to my text, the only way to limit God that I know anything about is not believing him. If you don't believe God, you can hinder him or limit him from doing things in your life. The Bible says over in one occasion that Jesus could not do many wonderful works because of one thing, and that is unbelief. The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews, one of the biggest sins, the greatest sin, in fact, the sin, the biggest sin of all sins is the sin of unbelief. It sends every soul to hell. I don't care how many souls go to hell, it's because they don't believe. The Bible said, "He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." Then this is children of God in the book of Psalms here, and the Bible said they limited the Holy One. God's people limited the Holy One because they wouldn't believe God. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now, but tonight you might not believe you can, but you can. Not fall from grace, but depart. There is a possibility of just not believing God. Now, friend, a lot of us are clean as a hound's tooth, but we still don't have no faith. A lot of us, my brother, tonight are clean as we can be, but you can't please God. Living clean and pure without trusting him and believing him. The Bible says, my neighbor, it's impossible to please God without faith. Brother, your good living ain't worth a snap of my finger unless you're able to believe God. That's the need of the hour tonight, my friend. The only answer to the problems of the questions that arises in this world tonight. I believe tonight, brother, the greatest need of all. And I was in Roanoke, Virginia, almost ready to throw in the towel and just about ready to give away the hatchet because I felt like my jig is up. I'd preached and looked like I wasn't getting anywhere, and the burdens were getting greater, and the war was getting more rougher, and the devil was a fighting on every corner, and more to do than I'd ever seen. God opening doors by the multitudes, and I run into a room in the doctor's home up there, and I said, "God, I've got to have the answer." And my brother, he gave it to me. I came a running out with it because the Bible said, open the book of Ephesians, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day." And my brother, he said in that chapter down through there, and I looked down through that chapter, and that verse jumped out at me and said, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." I came out, and that doctor and his wife was at the table. I said, "Thank God, I've got the answer." And they said, "What is it?" I said, "The shield of faith. That's the only thing in the evil day will keep us. Above everything in the evil day," he said, "taking the shield of faith, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Brother, these devils and demons and powers that we can't see is on us today on every side. And in every corner and every nook, these young people stood here tonight. I rejoice to see them. I'll tell you, my heart goes out for the young folks more than any folk in the world. Because, brother, I'm seeing things that I never saw. We're living in a crowd like nobody's ever lived in. You can't buy a book with the things in it that God's showing me. I hope you'll come back this week and let me tell you about it. But my neighbor, I'll tell you tonight, when I saw these young people, and I know the devil's bidding for their soul, I was in a place one time, had around 50 young men that stayed with me for 4 months solid in a prayer meeting without missing a night. We stayed from 8 to 12 o'clock on our knees praying 30 days before anything happened. on the 30th day the Holy Ghost came down in those woods that night, and you could hear the leaves that night without the wind blowing. He came on us there in that place. They shouted and praised God until they couldn't even get home. They had to lay down in the ditches. I've saw them for 3 months run and shout and praise God in the church and out of the church, night after night for 3 solid months later. We had a prayer meeting, and after we prayed about 30 minutes, they'd shout the rest of the time. Sometimes they'd have to carry each other home. They were so near exhausted. And yet, my friend, tonight out of that, we've got 2 young men that's preaching the gospel. 3 young men, rather, that's preaching the gospel. One has just finished the seminary out in the west of her, and's got a big church, I understand now. Way over 1,000 members in that church still a-preaching and a-shouting and a-praising God. But the thing, the saddest part of it, one young man that I saw win souls to Jesus, and I saw him many times with a testimony, and my friend, that would shake the foundation of the church nearly. I saw that young man sit on the front seat of the church. I saw him about a year ago, and he said, friend, I asked him about his church work. He said, I don't even believe there's a God. I don't even believe there's any such a thing as a God in Christianity. That Bible's a bunch of bunk and a bunch of junk. Now, brother, that fellow was just as much into it as all the rest of them. I wonder what happened. My friend, he lost faith. He left his God, my friend, said, lest you have an evil heart in departing from the faith. Oh, neighbor, tonight the devil, if he can get you to have anything else besides faith, he don't care how much of that you got. But neighbor, when you've got a man with faith, or a woman with faith, or a boy or girl with faith, brother, you've got a soldier that can stand against the wiles of the devil. If he can get you to have anything else besides faith, he don't care how much of that you got. But neighbor, when you've got a man with faith, or a woman with faith, or a boy or girl with faith, brother, you've got a soldier that can stand against the wiles of the devil. And the only thing, money, but tonight that'll stand in this day is to have literal faith in God to believe. This Bible means exactly what it says, and says exactly what it means, and that God is to be challenged tonight with every promise that he made. My friend, the Bible said here, give ear, O my people, to my laws. And these are the things that God wants you to do. First, my friend, give ear to my laws. And then incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Then God utters a promise. My friend, he said, if you'll do that, I'll open my mouth in a parable. And I'll utter dark sayings of old. Neighbor, listen tonight. There's 2 things we've got to do. First, to share God's laws and listen to what God put in his book. And then, my friend, listen to the words of God from his mouth. As the messenger of God brings it, or the Spirit of God, whichever the case may be. And then God said, I'll open your understanding. I'll bring the dark sayings, the things that's hard to be understood. And neighbor, tonight, listen, we're in a day of desperate hour. We're in an hour, my friend, when most of us preachers don't know a thing about the dark sayings in this Bible. We're so far gone tonight, it's hard to find a preacher today that can actually take this Bible and put Dr. Bottlestopper's books on the shelf and forget everybody else and go to God and the Holy Ghost and stay on his knees until he can believe literally this Bible is talking to us in the last day. God, my friend, I tell you, God has not left us alone. He's left to share with the Word of God. He's left to share, my friend, with the Bible that will stand when the world's on fire. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the Bible said not only that, but he said, I'll utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and your fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he's commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. Neighbor, tonight I want to preach to you parents for just a little while with this bunch of good young folks up here that's so interested in God, and I certainly appreciate it. Oh, listen tonight. I don't think I ever went to a church that I want to preach in any more than I do this one. I don't think there's anything in the world has touched my heart like this tonight to want to come here and labor among you as a servant of the Lord to give both soul and body and all the strength that lies within me and all of my talents
and ability and all of the fibers in my body unto the glory of God. My friend, if you fellows get established here on the Word of God with faith, till you can walk through this world of demons tonight, and all this other game that I'll be telling you about, if the Lord permits through the days to come, that we might still walk as soldiers of the cross, as God's people. They will listen tonight. These are terrible days. These are the darkest hours that anybody from the days of Adam on up till now has ever seen. And yet, my brother, God so fixed it till you and I could be here and live and preach and serve God. Listen, my brother, tonight, I think it's an honor. I count it a blessing and a privilege to be called to preach in hours like these. My brother, God could have let me live 2,000 years ago or 100 years ago, or He could have let me been born in Africa and my friend never heard the gospel, but He chose that I would be born, my brother, and be placed in the hour like this and call me into the ministry. And I thank God, my brother, tonight, the old preachers 50 years ago or 100 years ago did not have the fight that we've got on today. We've got the greatest things and the battles to fight. But neighbor, listen tonight. God knows who to choose and which to choose. And I appreciate the opportunity of preaching the glorious gospel of the Lamb of God and to stand in the face of a bunch of atheists and infidels and fallen angels and all the rest of this gang and tell them Jesus saves. And He's able to keep. And He's able to supply. And He's able to watch over His own. And He's able to give us victory. And He's able to bring us through. And He's able, just plain able. I praise God for it. But the Bible says He's established a testimony in Jacob and has appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that we should make them known to our children. Body, but tonight the only hope for your children to survive, it's not in the church. The hope, my friend, is not here at Sunday school. The hope for your children to survive is not just singing in the choir. The hope of your children surviving is not taking study courses. The hope of your children surviving is not going out here to the public school. But the only hope for your children to survive is for you to have a testimony from God. And brother, to have a work in your heart of the Lord. And to have literal faith in God giving me that God's able. And let Him do some miracles in your life till you can tell them to your children. Neighbor, tonight, listen. We're living in a day. We are living in a generation that's never heard it. My father and mother never told me because they didn't have it worked. And brother, it's been hard to have to battle this thing out for yourself. If I'd have had a mother that had faith or a daddy that had faith, certainly I'd inherited some of that. My brother, listen tonight. I think the greatest thing that you can give to your children in this last day is faith. Brother, it can be handed down. My brother, tonight, greatest thing that you can have is to have God to work a work in your house. To have God, my brother, will be on at your home tonight around the family altar to start a work that won't be finished until Jesus comes back. Get your children to stand up and ask God the day to think that communism may take our country, and which I think it's already gone. But neighbor, I dread to see the day when they begin to lock church doors and see our boys and girls that love Jesus now turn their backs because of unbelief. Depart from the living God. I'd rather they'd cut my boy's head off, my two boys and girls. I'd rather they'd take their head from their shoulder than for them to ever turn from their Lord. But neighbor, the hard, evil heart of unbelief will cause you to depart from the living God. The only thing that'll keep you in this day is faith in God. And the best way to get it is out of the book. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And brother, let's read it at home. And let's let God have His way. And let God establish a testimony. And let God pour out in our soul a work, my friend, that we can get our children around instead of watching television. Tell them about Jesus. Brother, they need a vision, but they need a television from Him. They need a vision of God. Listen, my brother, the Bible said that the generation to come might know, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare unto their children, that they may do what? set their hope in God. That's the need of the hour. Brother, listen tonight. In every program on the television, on the radio, outside of gospel preaching and some of the other things, most of the broadcast is on television and the radio, in the newspapers, in every other book, and in our schools today, and everywhere else, men and women are taught to rely upon everybody, but who they ought to rely upon. My friend tonight, a young man said to me in my church, he's a Republican, I'm a Democrat, it doesn't matter much in these days what you are. But anyhow, he said, I can't vote for Goldwater because if he gets in, he's liable to cut out Social Security. I said, I hope that's God he does. Hope he cuts everything out so nobody have nothing to lean on but God. The worst things ever happened to this country is when the government decided they'd feed you. When Roosevelt put in his program of soups up in people, and my friend started beating you through a straw. You left all off and didn't have to turn to God. And the children ain't got no hope in God. We got hope in everybody. That's who we ought to have it in. We got to get back to God or we'll stop tonight. It's God of hell. It's God of defeat. It's God or you go down. The Bible says that the children might have their hearts, other hopes set in God.
Amen.
He turned purple when I told him that. You say, preacher, I don't agree with you. If I should lose my Social Security, what would I do? Maybe you'd pray.
Amen.
But the hypocrites ain't praying so long. Maybe, bless God, if you didn't have any Social Security, you'd have to pray.
Amen.
The thing that wrecked the Southern Baptist Convention was the program of the cooperative program, plus a whole lot of other programs, but the most damning thing, like a cancer eating the heart out of preachers, was when they put preachers on pension plans to tell them when they got all they'd take care of. Honey, listen, if God ever gets to the place he ain't able to take care of a gray-headed, stoop-shouldered Baptist preacher, bless God, I'll quit now. Old John the Baptist came on the scene and John said, my God's able. Old Daniel come up and faced the lion's den. The king said, oh buddy, what are you going to do about it? He said, God's able to deliver. Oh, Paul said, but our God is able to do the exceedingly and abundantly above all that you're ever able to ask or think. Bless God, he gets better all along. Oh, listen. Old Daniel said, God's able. Old John the Baptist come by and said, he's able to be stones. Old Paul come by and said, he's able to do more than you think. More than you ever think about, he's able to do that. He's able to do all above. You can even think or ask or anything else. You can do all that and he's still able. That's my God. That's the kind of God we ought to trust in. I haven't got any pension plan, Social Security, nothing else. But I just got security. But I just haven't got eternal security on the soul. I got eternal security, period. Whether I'm secure while I'm living, I'm secure while I'm not living, whether I live or die, whatever happens to me, I'm still his. They'll take care of me. I want my youngins to believe that. I don't want them to believe that if Goldwater gets in, we'll win. I don't want them to believe if Johnson stays in, we'll win. Because we can't. Both of those fellows will have a Catholic vice. Both of them are Masons. And the Jews run the Masons. And John, Paul, and Peter, and the rest of them run the Catholics. And the devil's ahead of both of it. You can't win when the devil's got both ends of the line, except you just jump in the middle and get a hold of Jesus. Come on! I don't believe that in a gang. I don't care which one it is. And I don't care where you send this tape. Don't care if you send one to Johnson and one to Goldwater. I still believe that Jesus Christ is the only sufficient one that's able. I trust God above everything. He's able. And the Bible said you ought to tell it to your youngins. Tell it to the generation you got on your lap and tell it to them so they'll tell it to the generation ain't born yet. But we ain't got nothing to tell.
WPA come by. We kept having experiences with God. Didn't have to go beg for bread no more. Didn't have to ask him to answer any prayers no more. All we done just went down and signed up. We've been signing up ever since. Now we signed out. You say, I'm a Democrat. So am I. What does that make us? You say, I'm glad I ain't. Well, you're just like a lot of folks, I know. You ain't nothing nohow. Outside of the grace of God. So don't you worry. I'm preaching God tonight, not politics.
I don't care who you vote for. Vote for any of them.
Don't matter to me which one you vote for. You're sunk anyhow. They should come to God. I like Goldwater Stan pretty good. I wouldn't vote for the other fellow, so you can figure out if I'm going to vote for anybody. I'll have to vote for somebody if I do. I sure won't vote for that fellow that passed all them bills, take away all we got. Because I fought for that in a foreign country. I still believe in fighting. You know, I got wounded in World War Number 2. I shot Germans every time I seen one because I scared them. And buddy, I still don't carry a gun, but I ain't too good to. And I tell you, enemies on anybody's land, no matter which side of the pond they are, if they're any but a God and the church and the Bible, my brother, you ought to be shot. And I ain't too good to do it when I get scared. I didn't kill those Germans because I'm mad at them. I ain't no worse on them than I am you. I believe anybody that's trying to take my freedom ought to be booted out. I haven't got anything for anybody. They're trying to take what I fought for. And when they signed a bill of rights, whether you believe it or not, they signed up to take everything we got, and they got it.
Amen.
I ain't fighting. I don't care if you rot thinking I ought to be. You can still rot. You may be rotten anyhow. Just go ahead. It don't worry me what you think. Brother, I'm out for business.
The Bible says that they might set their hope in God. Now, you know, we got the most lousiest bunch of low-down folks that won't do nothing that we've ever had in the country. This low-down, dirty welfare outfit has put more folks on the rocks, took more faith away from God, limited the Holy One more than anything else. All you have to do is just get out of a job and the welfare will take care of you. A lot of women I know of won't even get married. Or they say, well, I can make more single. And they can. Then that dirty bunch comes down and tells me how I can run my children's home. But I done sent them back to Nashville every time so far they come. They got an old woman come down. She worked for the children's home for 10 years down in the Baptist Children's Home in Tennessee. Come down there the other day. And she said, Brother Potter, we're going to help you. We're not against you. We think you're wonderful. I didn't believe a word she said, and I still won't believe her when she comes back the next time. You say, you ain't right, I might not be, but I feel like I am until I have another feeling. See, I'm going to feelings right now. That's the way most of you run it anyhow, ain't it? But brother, I feel like I'm all right, and as long as I feel like I'm right, I'm going to stand like that. Did you know I found out that every Baptist children's home, Methodist and Presbyterian home in the country that I know anything about lets a welfare department run them? I didn't know that till just recently.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And until next week, God bless you.